Everyone, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Joining me again tonight is my good friend Robert Short. And tonight our discussion is going to be about the divine plan. We're going to go into the theory of time being accelerated in the last days. And we believe it started here approximately perhaps around 1987 or thereabout, given a new shift in dimension consciousness. And we've talked about the paradigm shift and the phases that we believe we're going through. We think that right now, Robert, I know you will agree with this, that probably the most critical of all time frame trigger mechanism that is attached to the timeline. And we believe that there is a divine plan. So tonight we're going to title our message, Divine Plan. Now, by meaning that something divine, perhaps maybe even thousands, perhaps maybe millions of years ago, planned whatever is happening and actually knew it, that it was going to happen, and perhaps maybe participated in a plan, if you will, a divine plan, to make sure that what's going on now did happen. Well, we go to the Bible for one source. We're going to go to many. Particularly, we're going to go to the Mayan calendar and the advanced knowledge that these mysterious Mayans had, Robert, and you know a lot about that, as well as others who are formulating some theories about the divine plan. It was all registered in a mathematical revelation. In other words, numbers don't lie. But liars, on the other hand, there were some of the divine ones who were to participate, had advanced knowledge of this divine plan, that countered in the negative of this divine plan. And so then they are divine beings that register in on the other side of the equation to perhaps keep the situation from turning positive, let's say. And as long as it stays negative, they remain in charge. Because if someone come in unaware, and the Bible speaks about those that would creep in unaware, men of old, ordained unto this condemnation. Robert, is society, or in general, is there a small segment of man waking up to a divine plan?
Well, in theory, we're captured here until there is a release. And if there are any elders, so to speak, the mindset of an Elohim, they could incarnate. I, for one, support incarnation, which is a little different than reincarnation. We come back as our own kind, each seed to their own. And that some elders could exist and incarnate again and bring forth knowledge in order to counteract some influences that occurred in Chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a divine plan would require two things. An initiative and a reason for an initiative. The reasoning for the initiative would be the influences of the fallen ones discussed in Chapter 6. And yes, by all means, if this battleground between good and evil, God and Lucifer, Satan, exists, then yes, there would be opposing forces within the masses of people to influence for the better.
For the better.
Yes, it is Armageddon, the War of Words.
The War of Words, Armageddon. And in this day of communication abilities, technologies, you're in that field yourself, and being a computer expert and in the field of program software and things of this nature, advanced program software. In the present information, Robert, and the tools that would help us through these things taking place on planet Earth, time acceleration and prophecies of that very fact, are we heading toward, for instance, the theory is that we're going to advance here tonight, that we're already down by the decibel count. The Earth is, it's like a ticking, well, I don't want to use the word time bomb, because that might give the false impression that we're just going to explode here. But I'm talking about in a sense that there is a ticking process measurable on decimal points that it used to actually, the measuring response of the Earth cycles, that's the word, was 7.5. And it remained that way basically as long as they had, and I think we've had this ability to measure those cycles since the 30s. So then, everything was on a constant cycle, so they based everything in their predictions and their outlook that Earth was in a constant cycle of 7.5 or thereabout on the cycle range. And then, very mysteriously, in the 80s, Robert, that cycle increase from 7 is now up to approximately 12.5. Now, what that means is that we still have the same outside time frame of moon, stars, and sun in relationship to time, but the Earth is actually speeding up in its cycles, and everybody that's attached to it has a sense that time is flying. And now they say that in relationship to 24 hours from a 7.5 cycle, that they would actually be exactly 24 hours in a day. Now, they figure with the increase of the cycling of the Earth and its decibel points that we're now about 16 hours in a day and time is over with. Well, I get the feeling. I'm amazed. I mean, when it's just like you get up and then the day is gone and then you return and you rise up and the day is gone and that sort of thing. Well, guess what the projected figure is? That will decrease in time realization down to 12 hours instead of 24. So we will be at half of the expended time in the theory with the increase. And this is all measurable increases, scientific instrumentation that will say that we are on an increase. And Robert, I don't know where you agree with that or not, but that's drastic that there's only 16 hours right now presently in a day.
Well, scripture indicates that the days will be shortened. You know, some people may read that as a length of a day or longevity of life. I look at it the same way you do, is that the length of a day. But we live in a spiral galaxy. There are only three options in a spiral galaxy.
Okay.
It's going to remain constant, and we know chaos always does that.
Right.
And or it's going to collapse, or it's going to expand. There is no third
option. That's the options.
Yes. And given the fact that we're going in global warming, And given the fact that we understand that mass contains energy and the speed of that mass relative to the sun may increase the energy in that sun, the temperature. And if, in fact, the excuse of reckless industrialization was only to cover up the last day's fact that we're going to be going through global warming because of speed accelerations, or let's say a collapsing of a star system. But even in the Mayan prophecies, it doesn't indicate that it totally collapses. It only goes in so far.
That's right.
And then it rebounds.
And it comes. In other words, what you're saying is that it's phased. The Mayan calendar is phased in and out with these sun cycle systems in relationship to Earth.
Correct.
That it's not the end of the world as most Bible prophets are predicting, but it's an end of an age and a new beginning of a new process in time relationship.
It is evolution. Darwin was not all that far out in left field when he was saying, you know, comparing the species of the beetles and their resilience to survival.
To change.
Yes, and even in his time, I think he logged some over 350,000 species of beetles. Imagine why the Egyptian was so
fascinated
with the beetles.
Yes.
Because they knew its resilience to evolution and its ability to change.
Metamorphic change.
Yes. But buildings, skyscrapers, and building huge cities is not an evil thing to where a judgment on a people should fall.
Yeah.
Especially by some Al-Qaeda or someone proclaiming a judgment against the United States or the people of the United States, because, yes, there are indications that we're going through some, you know, catastrophic times, but we're seeing groups trying to fulfill religious prophecies.
Yes, to make them come true.
To make them come true. And, you know, I didn't make it come true. I don't know what I did to cause it. I just existed and read my books, including the Bible, and I have certain beliefs of what I read. I trust in what I read, but I'm seeing a physical manifestation of manufactured.
Now, Robert, we talked about psychotronic tyranny in our last two series, and of course, we indicated that the war, you know, the clash of tanks and armor and all these things are over with. I mean, we're leaving those primitive ways to do battle, and now we've moved into psychotronics warfare, and those who hold, for instance, weather change, weather control, the race to have bombs that are powers that can leave those buildings that you described intact and yet destroy the populace. These things it's evident that the United States is now, with its big stick diplomacy, I mean, if you don't get in line with the United States thinking, with the United Nations probably as nothing more than a rubber stamp, it seems, there's some bickering and debating and things of this nature and which way we should go. But is that just a front to deceive the world population to think that nothing has been predetermined and that they give us an illusion that these things can be worked out, but everything has been predetermined and we're on a collision course with reality?
Well, whose reality? A divine plan reality.
Yes.
And I do not know who the author of this particular divine plan is, and how these three religions are supporting each other's fulfillment of prophecy. It is one of the most entangled little things. It's as good as reading a Russian spy novel.
Yes.
Very intriguing. But, you know, the United States, the populace of the American, voted in a Texan, and, well, we're at war again, and you know, every Texan we've ever had, we've had a war.
Well, that's amazing. You know, you
always follow the death.
You're talking about, of course, you're indicating the last three presidents that we've had from Texas. This nation has been involved in a war with all three of them, and it looks like, well, the first two that we could indicate, and it looks like the third one.
Well, they keep it in the family as much as they can.
may be something in the water out there, Robert. The truth about the divine plan, Robert, the future belongs to those that trust in the realities of knowing that there was someone that wrote the script and that we are actors on the stage of time. Now, you talked about your role, my role, and we're indicating that others have a very important role. What do you see as the most important role of an individual right now that can help the divine plan in a positive sense to succeed, because we know there's opposers to that plan?
Well, yes. We're a global society. And for many years we've been a global society, ever since the 60s. The population must examine some type of one world rule of some type, even if it's only in phased in by human rights initiatives.
Are you saying that that a new world order is inevitable, that we're coming? I mean, the realities like computer checkpoints, perhaps maybe implants, abilities to monitor its peoples wherever, whenever, whatever.
Well, we created an airplane so that we can fight the Japanese and the Germans, right? Well, they drop gases on our own people with it.
True.
So any tool that is created to facilitate man will always be used as some type of mechanism for control of war. But it's still a very viable mechanism when you get a population on the earth of 6 billion people. There's a lot of people that need to eat every day. And food distributions in this country is more upon market or product placement. You know, making sure that shelves are full here because of consumer confidence. But yet it's still an inappropriate system for food distribution.
Only very inappropriate.
Filling a building full of food so that the shoppers can feel comfortable, even though this one particular product may only sell one and the rest goes in the garbage.
Right. Okay. Or maybe with some of the right combinations, that security, with, as you say, the shelves being full and we get a false sense of security, that just a few turn of events could empty the shelves out overnight. For instance, I'll give you an example. We live down here in the South where major storms are not too common. But when we have those freak, maybe snowstorms that come in, prediction, and we got these weather prophets that tell us when it's coming, you better get over to the grocery store real quick for your milk and bread or it's going to be gone.
Well, that's true. But when we look at our population, and you look at the concentration of our population and how much square footage and food distribution occurs here in the South, you'll find that without further supply, you'd probably have about 11 days of food reserve here in the South. In the smaller cities like where we're at now, you take New York City, it's a two-day food supply.
Two-day. They say an average of 3 days. 2 days would be, yeah, and then maybe 10 to 11 days, you're saying?
Yes, okay. That's the last statistics that I have.
Because we're more rural, we could probably eat beans and potatoes. Well, I know a sister that me and her was laughing the other day. We were talking about those who have felt compelled to get rid of their Y2K provisions that they put up during 1997, 98, 99, and then Y2K went off, without a hitch, and nobody starved to death, and no great famine was, they didn't close everything down, computers didn't crash, that scenario type thing, and then everybody with the, was that sort of planned, Robert, so that I know they have laws against food hoarding. Why would the government be so opposed to somebody like this good sister who said she had kept her Y2K provisions and was canning there was no tomorrow? I think she had 6 bushel of tomatoes that day that she was putting up and getting ready. And does she know something, Robert, that the average person on the street don't know?
Well, she's a very brilliant person, Dan, and they're very in touch with the earth. And they care about what goes in their body. I admire that. I like good fresh canned vegetables myself. So hard to come by, then.
Yeah, it would be, especially if something happened on this magnitude they were expecting to happen.
She wasn't really saving any money. It costs a lot of money to buy these jars and canning lids and lots of time. If you take your time, you know, this person's making a major contribution to her family. One is sacrifice of time and lots of money. It's cheaper to go out and buy yourself a can of food.
Well, yeah, and of course, she has all the additives that she's trying to avoid. She's going organic, you know, doing her own canning process, whereas the commercial canners, you know, what they add to the foodstuffs that, you know, maybe make you susceptible down the road to things that you don't want.
Well, they buy by the bushel and they sell by the pound.
Exactly.
So, well, what's this extra weight thing? But, you know, it's an issue of volume for producers.
Okay, Robert. Now, humanity, I want you to comment after we come back from a break here in a minute. Well, go ahead and make a comment. Well, I think we got about 3 minutes till break. Humanity and planet Earth are currently going through a huge change in shift consciousness and reality perception. Is things really the way they seem, or is there something behind the scene in the grand scheme of things to actually make things and the perception to be a little blurred at this point?
Well, it's discouraging. Any time a fact comes out, the government will come out with its counterintelligence. It's disinformation.
Oh, disinformation.
Yes. It's very difficult to formulate anything that would be conclusive to alter the direction of man or to actually make a contribution to the goodwill of man. The Pulitzer Prize is, well, you know, a great thing, and so is the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's true.
But I believe that is a stacked deck there.
Well, I would concur with that. Well, now, Robert, okay, now, I'm going to put myself in a Ryan think tank. I'm one of those think tankers, you know, employed by the government to plan out 10 years in advance. Let's say that the United States government, or the world governments for that matter, and they're all hooked in, we assume, together. Let's say that they know, say there's an impending disaster looming in the future, say, like, they know that, well, for instance, Planet X, let's say that we're not saying it is, but let's say that it is a reality, and that our quote-unquote experts know that around 2003, maybe perhaps there about, let's say give or take 5 or 6 years, that's a short time to prepare anyway. Let's say that it's a reality and they know it's a coming. Well, if I'm going to give advice to my government, I'm going to tell them to keep it a secret. I'm not going to advise them to spread panic and sheer fear and anarchy in the street. You know how people are, Robert. Once a people get scared, they panic, and then panic creates chaos, and things could get out of hand quick.
Well, there's no place to run. This is it. and I'm certain that the government is very intelligent in their approaches with their new genocide laws.
Well, I agree. Well, folks, we're talking about a divine plan. We're going to come back in the second half and tell you who those divine planners perhaps may be. You stay tuned. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're going to be right back with the rest of the story. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. My guest tonight, Robert Short. We're in the divine plan. Somebody has prearranged our future. Now, if the time track called prophecy, meaning that things predicted, the Bible is, Robert, about 35% of the Bible is related to prophecy. That means future events. Some, and by this time, most have already come to pass. But there is a large segment of the prophetic timelines, if we could only see into the future as the seers of the ancient with the inspiration of the Spirit. Let me show you what the Mayans said and their knowledge, and you very well know, because you're well read on that subject. That's one of your favorite subjects. The Mayan civilization of Central America was and is the most advanced in relationship to time science knowledge. Their main calendar is the most accurate on the planet. It has never, listen to this, it has never erred. They actually have 22 calendars in their total. There happen to be 22 sacred letters of the sacred language of the Sumerians, which later became our founding father Abraham, who was one of the masters of this cycle. Covering the many time cycles these calendars have in the universe, not only the Earth, but the universe and the solar system, some of these calendars have not even, as of today, been revealed. The Mayan fifth world, it is stated in one of their calendars that has been interpreted, is stating that in 1987, the fifth world would end. Now, here is the gap between the fifth world and what they describe as the sixth world. That's very interesting, Robert, that you gave the figure 8 billion people upon this, or 6 billion. We're headed towards 8 billion, they say, in by 2012. The 6 billion now, and we're in no man's land. And I'll give an example. If the Mayan calendar is to be observed or looked at or interpreted properly, the fifth world that they had in their calendar time frame ended in 87, and the sixth world starts in 2012, meaning that we pick up another time cycle. So then it would take from 87 to 2012 to wind this thing down. Actually, it's winding it up, so to speak. That would be a better word, because of the increase in the cycles up to 12.5, which would decrease our time scenario down to exactly 12 hours a day, which would come in about 2012. Any relationship to the realities of that time phase reality, Robert?
Between 87 and 2012. Well, if there are divine influences on this earth, being the fallen angels, and even what I had stated earlier, possibly even some mindsets of elders here, that man himself also has an influence, and there's cycles in which man himself is going to have. But even in the changing of one age to the next age, you have cusps, you know, such as the Piscean
age, giving way to the Aquarian.
Yes, and during periods of those times, you would find some type of stillness or calmness or rest between two energies or two forces.
In other words, a quiet before the storm.
Yes.
Any age that would come in would be like a birth, a woman's birth. It would be painful. A new age is always the earth histories support that, like war, revolution. As man changes, it seems that we change not for the better, but for the worse. So, now, listen to this, Robert. 6 billion people, and if we allow that 6 billion people have 12 billion feet now placed upon the earth, locked into the energies and the synchronization of that time phase, we're all interlinked, clocked to that, and then we don't know how many of these divine beings are outside or within the dimensions that surround this planet, how they operate in that area, how many have their hand on the pulse of the earth. And in relationship, the Mayan says, number one, listen to this. They say that by 2012, we will have gone through or beyond technology as we know it. Also, that the Armageddon factor, or the apocalypse, as they declare, that we will be in apocalypse from 87 to 2012, meaning that there's going to be some shifting. And now, out of chaos comes order, and you gave the three theories that were advanced, and only three that relationship to the cosmos universe affecting our Earth and our solar system. Now we have the ability, as you say, to contribute our part to the equation with nuclear testing, with destroying the forest of the Earth, and by space exploration. We don't know what's going on with behind the scenes with some of these governments, Rob.
Well, we're still created in God's image, and being in His image, it would require external influence to cause us to do something that is not within the capabilities of the image to begin with, the origination. God Himself must have been a space traveler. For if we're capable of doing it, then it must be within the component of our image.
And it must have already been done, because there's nothing new under the sun.
And God knew that...
we would have the ability.
Yes, that when man sets his mind to it, that nothing will be restrained.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Amazing. Nothing. I'm fascinated with that now. That, what do you mean, nothing? Anything within the framework of our consciousness? You talked about math, consciousness. It dictates that something must come out of the spirit world, or the manifest. In other words, if we think on something, it appears.
Well, if nothing else, the opposite of that will appear for sure, because only the greater minds can function on ideals and concepts that do not require to be contrasted into existence. You know, like the primal mind.
Right.
Most of the people who research religious documents are always looking for something to prove its truth. Therefore, you find a lie to shine your truth on. And that's the danger of prophecy, is because you're looking for what you need to support your need and desire, and that is to support your faith and belief. And is this consciousness actually contributing to the collective consciousness and actually causing it to go into effect? When an individual has a dream, or they see a vision or something, and many, many people have, are they dreaming something and forecasting it into existence, or are they foretelling it?
Good question.
What is really occurring there? Was Orson Welles a good author? Or did he see a war between planets?
Mm-hmm.
There may have been many, many prophets throughout history that has went down and writing books and stories, thinking that they were very fanciful and creative minds.
Right.
But in truth,
they were projecting realities for a future.
Correct. So how much interaction is there between the person who has the vision and the real event?
Yeah, I remember as a young man reading Jules Verne, The Journey to the
the
Center of the Earth, and those explorations, and
time
now
time travel, the time machine.
All of these things are now coming within the realm of possibilities for and is that what you're alluding to?
Well, there's only one issue really regarding time and space, and that is the observer. The observer is the only one that realizes or can differentiate time and space.
I see.
Other than that, it's a presentation of numbers and belief.
Oh, that's interesting.
Understanding and trusting in the numbers you're seeing. And that's why understanding the Mayan prophecies are so important, is believing these numbers and trusting in these numbers and validating these numbers, even in the absence of the observer. And if you pay attention to the Mayan calendar, it does have time and space, but it is missing one thing in 2012.
What's that?
An observer.
Ah.
The calendar ends.
Oh.
So there is no observer. And that is one of the things I found more fascinating.
Fascinating.
About the Mayan prophecies, is where is the observer? Who are they? Are they now the observer? In 2012 and thereafter. I think there's a key point hidden within that.
You possibly could be right. Robert, you were alluding to in our earlier show on psychotronic tyranny. Such men, you said that each age demanded a certain minds to come forth, and this was the will of a consciousness that demanded such. Well, the Bible says in the last days that much knowledge will be increased. Well, some of the great inventors, we could name several, some of the great industrials like Henry Ford that brought the automobile in, and Tesla with his great mind that's never been equaled. You alluded to the fact he might have been he might have been one of the divine ones that was incarnated into a flesh body just to visit us a while. One comes to mind that we haven't talked about very much at this point, and I'd like to bring him in here, and that is Wilhelm Reich. Now, Wilhelm, as you very well know, came up with this theory of orgone energy. In other words, he says that, and this is proven, by the way, this is validating the Tesla theories, that there is an energy connected from Earth to heaven. I say, well, he talked about the universe, but I'm going to describe it as from Earth to heaven. And that this energy can be harnessed. He proved it time in and time out. Weather control, cloud formations, breaking up this energies and moving it about. Well, Robert, he was mysteriously put out of business by the United States government. All his records, all his experiments, and all of his knowledge that he had written in the form of formulas and diagrams and things of this nature, everything that he had was seized by the FBI, and he was thrown into jail on a trumped-up charge, and there he died. Any relationship to the suppression from the divine plan? The evil one's got a plan here, Rob?
Well, there is an untapped energy. And when and an individual goes out at night and they look up into the sky and they see a star, that star is not at the exact position we think it is.
That's correct.
The atmosphere functions as a lens. And when light enters this atmosphere through this lens, it bends. And this bending effect is also an untapped type of energy.
Oh.
It is heat.
I see.
It's mass. Even though it is the form of light, there are quantum particles within the light off of a star that we're looking at night. There's a lot of bombarding of quantum particles in space.
Oh, I see.
And that's part of the reasons why the super collider is looked in, is more operated by the colliding of protons in order to establish new elements of matter.
I see.
And Wright,
he was on that path, and it was a path that someone with powerful control deemed that this information should not, as well as Tesla. We know that Tesla's patents were all stole by Jews, Westinghouse, etc.
Morgan.
J.P. Morgan, Rothschild Enterprises, and things of this nature. So somebody is trying to put the brakes on the acceleration of not only knowledge for the general man in the street. In other words, those 2 feet that stand on this earth and the resonance of the pulse magnitudes. Now, can man control, or is he trying to control this, or to forbid this speeding up? Now, let me give you this theory, and we'll expound on it. Robin, you comment on it. Time is actually speeding up or collapsing, either way you want to look at it. It's repelling or, who knows which way this thing is. If it's collapsing or speeding up, doesn't matter, because it depends on which end of the equation you're on here. For thousands of years, the Schumann resonance or pulse heartbeat of the earth has been rated, already alluded to it, at 7.83 cycles per second. Now listen to this. The military has used this as a very reliable reference. However, since 1980, this resonance has been slowly rising. It is now over 12 cycles per second. This means that there is the equivalent of less than 16 hours per day instead of the 24 hours. Now, it's very interesting. At this point of the apocalypse, the no man's land in between a time period of the Mayan calendar, 1987, that we will merge into the new beginning of a new time count cycle, which then the shift of consciousness, by that time they predict that man will actually be raised in consciousness into the fifth dimension.
Well, I would also add to that an assumption that man will also begin to live longer, and that that in the last catastrophic event, man's days were shortened, as we understand from the days of the deluge, in which we believe that there were some DNA influences, design on man, alterations. In the absence of, was there an interference with the age of man genetically by higher beings? In the absence of that, then, with the polar changes reversing back, theoretically, man would go back to living 1,000 years in this, after this next catastrophic event, that things would reverse back because of the polarity shifts.
Back to its normal cycle.
Yeah. And the only what-if situation in that is if there was no genetic influences on the age of man. But the Bible scriptures indicate that God repented, which meant he rethought man's...
He refigured the equation.
Refigured the equation and shortened his days.
Exactly.
Now, if in fact...
to speed up time, by the way, Robert.
Yes.
To where it gets to the point, maybe, and I can agree with what you just said there, that this speeding, in other words, the shortening of man's time accelerated... because of a shortened lifespan, these things, in other words, the Bible said he would cut time short.
Yes.
Now, what he meant by that is just what we have discussed here, that scientifically, you can actually prove by the pulse rates from 7.5, which is basically a ratio of land to earth to water combinations of the chemical makeup of man, in relationship to the conductive ability of the content of man's being in electromagnetic sense, that he is created in the image and back to the Father we must go.
Back to the Father. Man is 75% water in body. The brain is typically 85%, and the eye makes up 95%.
How about that?
And in the word that became flesh, which was in Hebrew, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh.
That's correct.
Which is the Tetragrammaton.
Which is 26, which is 8, is a new beginning.
Correct. Everything will return back to its Father, to its origin.
Most certainly believe it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Shepherd's Call. Let me make you one more comment, Robert, and get this one in here real fast because we got to get out of here. And that is to beware of the media as a controlled form of giving us our ideals and planning sublingually as we watch the news, the television, the entertainment segments, and the perversion of the mind. It's to corrupt it and to block these receptors that we've got by a God-given divine plan. They don't want us to hook in to what's going on. And right now, Robert, I made the challenge on yesterday morning on the Clay Douglas show, because 99% of this collective consciousness on the earth in Christianity believes that Jesus was a Jew, that he had Jew blood in him. And I issued a challenge, and nobody has took my $1,000 to prove that Jesus had one drop of Jew blood in him. Now, first, that goes to show you this mass media control effects upon especially the Christian white Europeans that are capable of using technology for betterment, not for worse.
Yes. What are you going to do, buddy, if someone says that the Jews are not Jews, but they're actually Hebrews, and actually said that the one that they called Christ was a Hebrew?
Well, then I would submit to that, because he was a Hebrew, and we have genealogy recognition that he was a Hebrew. That was, you know, this idiotic idiot, if I may say so, and, you know, you calls them as you sees them. In this case, I calls it as I hears it. Got up on national radio and said that Abraham was a Jew. Well, that was long before that Jacob was ever born, and from Jacob came the tribe of Yehuda, where the first Jew was not even mentioned in the Bible until 2 Kings 16:6. So, you know, I don't know where this guy got his facts. He said he worked for the Pentagon. Well, that's typical run-of-the-mill Pentagon BS, if you ask me.
What do you think the response of the nation of Israel would be if the remnant of the lost tribes of Israel were to go and append their charter?
Oh, my. Oh, the heavens forbid that ever happened, Robert. We'd take over and run the earth like we're supposed to. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Tonight, Robert and I have been talking about the divine plan. If you'd like to be part of it, call Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. Or write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to email me tonight, you can do so by just simply lowercase buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at wwgap.net. And if you'd like to contact our sponsors tonight, Dr. Jack and Dr. Gary from Miracle 2, we need your help. We're operating on a shoestring budget. Most of it coming out of Dr. Gary's pocket. And he's been very faithful to help us to get this truth out. And it's brought to you by men like Dr. Jack and Dr. Gary that love you more than they love their necessary self. So remember that when you order Miracle 2 for the Shepherd's Call, you're helping Pastor Buddy here stay on. That's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, and Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Tell them Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call sent you and that you heard the broadcast, and I mentioned their numbers. That's toll-free, by the way. Won't cost you anything to call. Check out what Miracle 2 can do for you and your skin. And it's an amazing spirit scent formula that came out of the fifth dimension over 20 years ago. Now, just coming to the forefront of soaps. It is the elite in soaps. This is Pastor Buddy. I'll see you tomorrow night on the Shepherd's Call with the conclusion of our exciting series, Psychotronic Manipulations and Tyranny. And stay tuned Sunday on WWCR for the Shepherd's Call at 6 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call. We hope you'll join us each evening on this same station. Praise Yahweh.